Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. It's me, Jackie Cation. I'm in my garage. I am recording some Dork Forest, Rangers. It's coming together. This week's guest, Lindsay Adams, stand-up comic at Lindsay Adams is popular on Instagram. Yes, we've met here in the Los Angeles area whilst doing the stand-up comedy. Very funny. Welcome to the Dork Forest, Lindsay Adams.
Thank you. That's so kind. Yes. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I love the pod.
Right. It's going to be super. Well, and I don't think I've had anyone do baking in a while. And so it's always exciting to get someone to talk about something that I don't want to do. My mother-in-law loves to bake, and she has a sourdough starter that's over 40 years old that will not die on my fucking watch. So we do bake every couple of weeks.
Jesus.
Anyway, so you like to bake, though. That's a thing that you enjoy. You enjoy baking.
Yes.
That's what I hear?
Yeah.
Yes. Talk to me about it. Where'd you learn? Why do you care?
I mean, you know, it's so funny. It's, part of it comes from a place of my mom was like a granola mom, or I think they call them
right
almond moms now.
Well,
and so I don't know. So she,
what did granola do?
She was like out of like the, like a hippie type person. And she was like, no artificial colors or flavors or anything like that. That's bad. And so my instinct was like, that's all I want.
Right. Right. It's just sugar and candy and
And
something that's like, blue, which doesn't occur naturally. Yes.
Exactly. Decadent. I just associate it with like decadence, happiness, joy, like all of those different things. And so that like initially drove me towards sweets, but then I always really liked the idea that baking is kind of like a makeover show, but for ingredients.
What?
Like you get to watch like a fun transformation happen to seemingly boring ingredients. It's so much more than you do with cooking, in my opinion.
All right. So you're talking about what are the basics of baking? I mean, some sort of flour, obviously, right?
Yeah. Flour, fat, normally, some sort of binding agent. So fat would be like the butter, binding agent would be like the egg.
Okay.
And then that's like really like the only like essential, and then a leavening agent of some sort. So baking soda or baking powder.
Okay.
Or something natural like the yeast.
Okay.
And
like sourdough starter or something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but I just like, I think it's fucking cool that you get to, I think first of all, anytime you bake anything, for the most part, if there's sugar in it, it's always edible.
Oh, interesting.
Even if it's like not perfect, it's usually pretty edible.
Sure. That I like the attitude for sure, where you're just like, yeah. Wow, it's at the very least you could eat it.
Yeah.
Yes.
At bare minimum. And then at like maximum, it's a masterpiece.
Right. Right. It could be good looking. It could be delicious. It could be cooked. And those are the three things that could happen. And in all cases, they are edible. So as long 100%. As it's fully cooked, 100%, it's, I think Maria tells the story, Bamford tells the story of trying to make pancakes in a tall pot and how it didn't work. And in the end of it, it was just, she would just start over. And she's better now. She's better now than she's ever been. She decided several years ago to learn to cook and to bake. It's great. It's really cool of her. I mean, would that we all wanted to learn a new thing every couple of years. Yeah. What did you bake when you were a kid? Did you ever bake granola bars or?
No, I mean, like for my fifth grade science project, I did make a pie crust made a pie. Like,
where did you grow up in the '50s?
Right?
A science project. Where'd you grow up?
Well, I would in New Jersey, but I grew up in New Jersey, but I also was like not the most studious student, and so any opportunity to kind of stretch the boundaries of what would count as schoolwork.
It's science and math. No, that's tricksy and delightful. I'm just psyched that your school offered some sort of science contest. Good for them.
They were really good about it. We had our science teachers were pretty great. Our science and history teachers, most of the teachers were pretty good. But we had like an open-ended science project, and I was like fucking baking, and I did,
You nailed it. You made a pie crust. Did you end up making a pie with the? I mean,
I think
you'd have to take it to school, but maybe not. Yeah.
No, my mom was like the kind of person who was like, you know what's so great about apple pie is you don't need to add any sugar to it. And I'm like, oh, it's so funny. I didn't know that was how you made apple pie.
If you could add sugar to it, it makes it somehow even better. But I get what you're saying. Sure.
She was always like, wow, do you know what's a great dessert? Cherries.
Again, she's not wrong. But you know what else is a really good dessert? I don't know, a piece of pie. A scoop of ice cream. Delicious.
Exactly.
Yes.
No, I always loved that shit. And then when I got into comedy, I started baking to deal with the stress.
Really? So wait, okay. This is interesting. So to deal with the stress of stand-up comedy and the weird world of stand-up comedy, you started baking. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
what do you make? Like
a little more involved than that. I started stand up, and then shortly after my dad died. And then after that, I like had just graduated school. And so I needed to get a real job. And so I got an office job.
Sure.
And I hated it.
It's a real challenge liking an office job. The people have to be amazing or you have to be king. One of those two things has to happen for you to like an office job.
And unfortunately, neither. There was one good person and everyone else, it was not good. And
right.
So I was fired.
Ooh.
And When I know. Well, I also deserve to be fired.
I was going to say, did they not get you, or was it justified?
It was a little bit of everything. We had a new boss come in, and he and I just butted heads. He was like,
right,
Midwest alpha male, like
just out of the box.
Yeah, it was just like very, and so my instinct was to just like be an absolute bitch to him. And
success.
Yeah. And
congratulations.
But he would like come up with stuff for HR complaints where he would be like, oh, she has disrespectful body language.
Oh, wow.
And because he said that like he would come in the morning and I wouldn't say hi to him, or I would roll my eyes when he was talking to me.
No. Yeah. See, here's where. Yeah. You're not painting the picture where this was unjustified, but you did say that it was justified. It's I have to say, I had a boss. I've never been fired, and I have had to make. Well, there's a technical term for it, but it's called an apology. And I had to return the money I stole. That's right. Oh, okay. I stole money from work because a guy came in as a manager and he told everybody that nobody's going to be able to steal from this company ever again. And I said to him, nobody's been stealing from this company. And he said, well, they're not going to be able to do it at all now. And, 2 months later, I was like, why is my credit card bill so high? Let me credit my own credit card bill. And yeah. And then many years later, when I decided that I didn't want to live with a lot of lies,
right?
I went and apologized to that guy's boss, his brother.
Wow.
And gave him the $800 I stole. One of my friends was very funny. She said, well, maybe he'll just be psyched you apologize and won't want the $800. And I said, who do you know that doesn't want $800? No one.
Yeah. I mean, a really rich person
would also take a handful of 20s being handed to them. They would go, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If you had it in cash, do you feel like today, if there was if you went in and offered to Venmo him, he still would have said yes?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes. And okay, he's the most successful hippie in the whole wide world. He is the most capitalistic socialist ever created on God's green earth. It's Minneapolis, Minnesota. Scott owns a company called Northern Sun Merchandising. I believe his brother is running it by himself now. And Trent is actually a good guy. He just didn't get, you know, all I was just, I was challenged and I was a dick. So that was my part. And correcting my part and not doing that again was how to keep moving. So
Yeah. No, understandable. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so then that's the only situation in which you were fired. Well, not where you.
And I wasn't even fired. I was fired once from being a fan in the stands for a local TV show for Bill Murray's pro baseball team, like this sort of hobby baseball team he has in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh my God.
I was the fan in the stands. And again, at the time, I thought that there had been some miscarriage of justice, but I looked back on the clips and I made absolutely everything historically political, like Stalin,
God,
the Cold War, like for no reason. I mean, what are you doing? People are at a baseball game.
Yeah, no, but that's so funny.
And then I was let go. Yes.
Okay, fair. I do feel like I instinctually feel entitled to do more,
please
more
finish
of what
that
I
sentence.
Want.
Yes.
Yeah. More of what I want when someone hires me to do a job and less of what they want.
Yeah.
So that's
there's trouble there. That sentence could be relived and go, I instinctually felt privileged. Yeah. Wait a minute. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Of course you did. We all do. It's great being a Whitey Magoo. And
I know.
So be it. But here's the scoop, though. You were dealing with stress by learning how to bake.
I know. Let's hear you that. Know, when I got fired, it was like, obviously I knew, like, the straw that broke the camel's back was that on GChat, I had told someone that he was like a lying snake and a nightmare of a person. And
you're like, this is not an outlet. This is not the correct outlet.
I truly didn't think that they could. I was like, it's GChat. My bad. But he, so when I got fired, it was like the first kind of like initial shock thing or whatever. And I was like, right. I didn't really like know what to do. And so I was just like, I'm just going to fucking make these like cinnamon rolls. And so I just...
I feel like there's a scene missing from this, but I love the snap, the crash cut, because that's awesome. I love. I'm gonna make cinnamon rolls. How do you make cinnamon rolls? When do you add the cinnamon?
I did cheat code cinnamon rolls. I built up to doing like baking, but like So I grabbed like Pillsbury crescent rolls.
Oh, right. Kaboom. Yeah. Those things. You use the kaboom rolls. Okay.
Yeah. And then I put them together with butter and cinnamon and sugar. And I didn't use a recipe. I just chanced it.
And how'd that work?
I mean, it was thrilling. It was like flying by the seat of my pants.
You're like, watch me bake. That's cool.
Well, it was cool.
First time baking, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like, then afterwards, I brought them to a group of friends. Like, I think I was either going to a stand-up show or something.
Right.
And I was just like, hey, I made these. Everybody can have them. And it made everyone so happy. And so it was kind of like,
which is also like stand-up comedy, where you're like, please like me. And a little bit of that, but also free cinnamon rolls. So everyone is like, yes, please.
No, absolutely. Well,
yeah.
And it makes people happy. Great.
Yes. You're great. This is very sweet. So what did it lead to? Like, are you now, do you own a KitchenAid?
I do. I have two KitchenAids.
What? Oh my God. I know. I thought I had reached for the moon. No, you have two.
I have two KitchenAids. I had one as like my husband got me a gift. He got me one like years ago. And then I probably like 8 years ago. And then during the pandemic, I upgraded.
Lockdown. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. So I have two KitchenAids and, but yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. I don't want a bakery. I never want to own a bakery.
Fair enough.
I never want to like, you know, I sell stuff or I do custom orders on stuff.
Okay.
But for like word of mouth, mostly if it's a big party or something big, I won't do it because it just takes the joy out of it.
Right. Then it becomes a grind and it's not the fun thing. Yeah. You know, last week's episode of The Dork Forest was about a guy who loves watches. He doesn't collect watches. He has several watches, but he likes really, really nice watches. And I said, would you ever want to learn how to make a watch or fix a watch or build a watch? He said, I think that would take the joy out of it, making it a job. So I think that's what that is with the baking. That's cool.
Yeah, I know anytime I've gotten close to being like, okay, you know what? I'll sell this like it's work.
Yeah.
I don't like during the pandemic, you know, times were tough and I was selling pies during the holiday, like during Thanksgiving.
Okay. So during lockdown, you literally made pies and just sold them like on the internet, like to friends and family on the internet. Like, so tell people if they want a pumpkin pie, I will make them a pumpkin pie.
I was like, put in an order, like through social media. I was like, if you want it, write it down. I'll put in an order. And it was like fairly lucrative and worked. And I did the same thing with Christmas cookies, but I just got tired of it. And I got mad that I had to do it. And so,
well, Christmas cookies, by the way, are a grind. Like if you make a lot of Christmas cookies, one of my dogs is having some sort of coughing fit over there. What's going on, Gordy? No. You all right, buddy? All right. You're a good boy. All right. Try to keep it together. I'm trying to run something here. So, hello. Yeah. Anyway, so during lockdown, you're making pie. So are you making your own pie crusts?
Yes.
Do you have those beads?
I do. I have the beads. I have so many. I also love kitchen contraptions. Like I love
gadgets.
I know I'm going to be that like 90-year-old woman who.
How about
like,
you're my 78-year-old mother-in-law who's like, remember that thing I used to have? It was the perfect thing to take brownies out of the corners of the pan. And I was like,
yeah,
I did save that because I knew that that was important to you. But you had 3,600 square foot of stuff to put into our 966 square foot house. So and we already had stuff. So, yeah. But she does have, so what did you, so you went, take me on a baking journey for just a couple of minutes about what you baked from the cinnamon rolls from the pop kind.
Oh yeah. Like
when did you,
And like, how did I work up to where am I now? Or, oh yeah, I just kept doing it. I mean, like I get very focused on wanting to do things correctly.
Oh yeah.
But I know. It's shocking. It's shocking.
We don't know each other very well, but I'm hearing all these things where I'm just like, I want this, but I want it to be done. I have to do it right. And I have to.
I'm a controlling maniac.
Right. Treat yourself like the Fabergé egg that you are. That's what Maria Bamford always tells me. She's like, stop. And she tells herself that too. Everybody's a Fabergé egg. Be gentle with yourself. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I mean, like I'm a controlling maniac. And at the end of the rainbow, I at least get to give somebody something that makes them happy. Stay out of my kitchen while I'm doing it.
Right.
And there's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of dirtiness. But like, it's silent time where all I can focus on is like one thing from start to finish. And at the end of it, there's always something tangible. And with comedy, it's such a longer journey. And like, you don't always have something tangible when you've created something.
True. I mean, it's just albums or specials or video, you know, it's just reels.
Yeah.
You're just clipping stuff up.
Well, it's a longer game. It's like a longer process. And so at the very least, like if I need to feel like I completed something in a short period of time, I know that I can do that with
a sense of closure on something, right? The ability to create and finish something. That is true. Yes.
Yeah. So I just started doing, I got more and more adventurous. I got into cake decorating. I think it's also like, I didn't think that I liked certain pastries until I had the best version of them. Like I didn't think I liked cake. Until I had a really good piece of cake. And then I just became obsessed with making really good cake.
Do you make a really good cake?
I do. I make a really good cake.
What is the difference between kind of a mediocre cake? Like, can you tell where when you've made the cake at the end of it, where you're like, I see what I did wrong here.
Yeah.
It's just a good cake. It's a perfectly fine cake, but it isn't a great cake.
Yes. Yes.
Is that quantifiable? Yeah. Can you even say what?
Yeah. Well, sometimes. Okay. So salt content is huge.
Really?
Everything. Yeah. Things should be salted pretty generously in baking to match texture. So if it's overbaked or underbaked.
Even a little bit.
With cake, yes.
Okay.
And then... And then in terms of the amount of flavor and like how it is, like cake is also like really tricky because you have to like have the ingredients mixed together really perfectly in order for it to come to its final form.
Okay. So you're incorporating, I had the greatest cake, I've had in that I can remember. So in decades, clearly.
Where?
It was at somebody's wedding and it was somebody's grandmother's. It was, has Tom Smith done this show? He might have. He's a game designer, buddy of Andy's, my husband. Yeah. And it was, I think, his mother or his grandmother's strawberry cake recipe. And okay. It was a strawberry cake. Who cares? What? Why is that something? It was so amazing. It was not only fresh strawberries, okay. but it was also, I think it was, he had worked in strawberry jello.
Oh, yeah. Into the batter.
Yeah. Into the batter.
Yeah.
So Andy tried to recreate it, not using the recipe. And using, I think, frozen cherries or frozen powdered cherries, dried cherries.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. But, I mean, it was delicious. Don't get me wrong. Sure. I love, it was a perfectly good cake, like, as I said. But it was not the cake that whoever made that cake at Tom Smith's wedding, because it was extraordinary. It was, that is the word. It was an extraordinary cake. And I don't care about cake. Cake is not my downfall.
Yeah.
Cake is not my thing. I like pie better than cake.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. I used to only like pumpkin pie. That's because it's almost impossible to not make a good pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Well, you would argue pumpkin pie is not good.
Oh, interesting. It's you don't enjoy pumpkin pie.
I don't like pumpkin pie. I won't. I really, it's not my
Andy
not my
likes
thing.
A sweet potato pie that I'm not particularly fond of. I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
I
sweet
like
potato pie. I like better.
Interesting. Okay. So just a different flavor profile. Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, I come from like my stepmother. She didn't like to cook or bake.
Yeah.
But she could make a couple of things pretty well. And then we made cookies occasionally. She was really good at monkey bread. But that was
monkey bread is so good.
But monkey bread is essentially the biscuits in the ka-chunk thing, and then you pull them apart and you pour cinnamon sugar over it. If I remember correctly, right?
Right. Yeah. Essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, again, there's not a lot of baking there. But her sister always claimed to be an amazing baker, and she was fine. It wasn't. So I never
she
had really great, I really never had really great cake. And then my grandmother was known for her baklava. Do you fucks with phyllo dough?
Yes.
I ask. Do
yes.
you?
I love it. I tried to make my own once and it was a fail.
Yep.
But because it's so incredibly difficult to make from scratch.
Yes, I've made it a couple of times with my grandmother. It isn't fun.
No, it's
super
crazy.
Fucking fiddly. By phyllo dough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but baklava is so good. I love I love the crispy, all of that. It's
Like a crispy layered business?
Yeah. There's a cake thing that went viral on TikTok that I kept trying to make when I made like my own phyllo dough, and it's something like, it's called like crinkle cake or something. I don't know.
Oh,
it's like sweetened condensed milk and phyllo dough. I don't know, but it looked so good. And I was like, the textures just look perfect.
Yeah. So the only other thing that I ever baked myself was I made Tollhose cookies from the back of the packaging. And the first time I made them wrong because I didn't know, like with recipes, especially with baking, you have to follow them pretty closely. And I just put in all the ingredients as they were listed instead of mixing the dry and then mixing the wet and then combining them. That actually was inedible.
No way. What happened? How did it, what was the error with it?
I just
like
put,
how did it come out wrong? I guess is my question.
It was, grainy and lumpy and not. And you could barely find the chocolate. I mean, I added the, if you ever look at a recipe for Tollhose cookies on the back, don't do it in the order that the ingredients are listed.
Fair.
Go down and gather all of the wet ingredients and then gather all of the dry ingredients. Make sure each of those is well mixed and then put them together.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Fair. Wait, I'm going to just turn on a light really quick.
Do it.
So that there's more room.
So during lockdown, you're making pies and cakes and cookies.
Yeah.
Or just pies and cookies, maybe. Were you making cakes?
I was making, during the lockdown, I was making everything. I was like, okay. I was going all in before that. I had a baking show that I did, like a live comedy baking show.
Like and the YouTube, the Twitch, the TikTok, the Instagram?
Well, I did Twitch originally, and then I made it like in-person live. I was doing it at a co-working space in their kitchen, and I would just pack it. And it was so fun. And then
sounds like a lot of work, but yeah,
it was an enormous amount of work.
right. And so it was fun as long as it lasted.
Yeah. I was always in the red. It was an enormous amount of work, but it was really fun. And then during the pandemic, I just got like, I locked in and I was like, I'm just going to fucking, but even so, I'm so like, I mean, the internet has so much that you can research. And I, because I'm a rule breaker, I know that you have to learn the rules to break the rules.
Yep.
So I really like to, so I would like make things over and over and over again until I really understood it. And then I would fuck with it.
Oh,
and
that makes sense. That sounds like the best way to bake, where you like sort of Picasso-y kind of thing where he knows how to draw right. He did that on purpose, putting the nose over there. So what are you baking over? Like, what's something that you wanted to be able to screw around with? So you baked it a bunch of times to get it kind of perfect, like cakes and pies and just all that kind of stuff? Or
yeah, I think like the thing that I really wanted to master that I did were cream puffs or like profiteroles.
Okay. Is that a choux pastry? What is that?
Yes, it's choux pastry. So like there's a lot of stuff. I wanted to get it perfect. So like I was always able to do it, but I wanted it to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so that I was finally able to do, but I had to make it so many different times and cook it so many different ways in order to make it perfect the way that I wanted to. And then I've also had to do the same thing with cookies. Where like I've had to make them over and over and over and over again before I understood like the ratio of butter, what temperature the butter should be at for what texture, the like all of that stupid stuff. So like I'm basically just catering it to my taste too. Yeah.
Right. I mean it's perfect from your taste buds and possibly the people closest to you.
Yeah, so. Sometimes. I mean, my husband is like pretty picky. I mean, he's not super picky, but I know what he likes and what he doesn't like. So I know if I make something of a certain texture or flavor, he's like, no, thank you.
Right. It's and he's happy you made it. I hope it all works out. Yes. Yeah. Good to hear it. So, all right. What since lockdown and essentially the accumulation of new gadgets, what do you have? Cheesecloth? Cheesecloth is very important when it comes to phyllo dough. You doing that?
I do. I've got cheesecloth. I've got cheesecloth. What else you got?
Pans. What you got? The spring form pans.
I got every kind of pan. I got an airbrush set to decorate cakes.
Oh my gosh, that is another level. Could you do a van with a rainbow on it and a unicorn? Just sort of a Scooby-Doo van, but I'd like it to say "Keep on trucking" with a unicorn and a rainbow. That'd
be great. I could. Yeah. I have fondant. I know how to do these things. That's now, the other thing, working with fondant.
Yeah, what
took
about
a lot
it?
Of practice?
Yeah.
I mean, it still takes practice, but it took a lot of practice
to even sort of get the basics of it.
Yeah, because it's like, it's a very hard, weird texture. I mean, that's when it becomes like sculpting and stuff like that. And I don't consider myself a visual artist by any means.
Right. But you have to roll it out, don't you? Isn't it hard or does it come in a roll?
No, you have to, it comes in different forms, but it's like Play-Doh. You have to roll it out and then you have to get it. Yeah. And then you have to get it to fit around the cake or mold it. But like, you have to smooth it out a certain way. I mean, like the temperature matters, like all of this stuff is.
Right. Because what is it made of? Is it edible? I've never known.
Yeah, it is. It's totally edible. It doesn't taste great, but it's kind of like cornstarch, sugar, some sort of oil, I think.
Okay.
It's or probably it's kind of like oil. Hard marshmallow. Yeah, something like yeah. that.
And then, so, I mean, it's got to be great for decorating just because sure. then you have an actual surface that you could yeah. draw on, that you can put flowers on, you can pipe on. Do you have piping?
Yeah.
Do you have the piping things? I do. The bag with with the stars?
I do. I have all the piping stuff. And also it's like you can buy, I mean, literally, okay, that's the other thing with the pandemic. The internet is bountiful.
Oh, like, yeah. There's no bottom.
There's no
emotionally
bottom.
Either. Yes.
No, trust. No, I'm with you on that. No, there's no bottom and you can buy anything and they have a gadget for everything. They have a solution for everything. You can buy right. edible paper that you print oh. edible images out on.
Wait a minute. I think I go to a coffee shop that put a picture of Kevin Hart on the top of my latte. It was
why
very
Kevin
weird.
Hart?
Well, they had a choice of different famous people that I could pick from, and he was the only comedian. So,
who else did they have? What were the options?
They had Tom Cruise. So they had it was a lot of weird, not current. It was weird that it wasn't like, but you could also I think give them a picture of yourself or your loved one and then do
where
that.
Where was this? Where
it
was, is
it's
this?
Called the Red Maple and it's in Toluca Lake on Riverside. So you dash off and look at their selection of famous people that they will put on your latte milk. And I don't know if they're doing it with an edible piece of paper. It feels like it must be.
Sure.
Because they're printing it and then maybe they're printing it and it's a stencil of some sort where you blow foam into it.
Is it colored? Like
it was black and white.
Colored?
It was just black and white. Okay. Yeah.
Whoa. I'm interested now.
Right. Right. Because did you get edible paper? And
I did. I got wafer paper, which is edible. And it's like you can draw on it with edible markers. And so I did that at various times. But you can also get, like, you know, you see the cakes at grocery stores and they have pictures on them.
Yeah. It's like that, so right?
It's like you can also then do that onto, like, you just get a printer that prints food stuff out.
I wish I could remember the name. Andy's cousin came and visited us and they Googled best cherry pie in Los Angeles. And it was in the Palisades. I think they had to go out towards, you know, the Richie Rich part of town.
But
they brought a cherry pie that I believe cost $60 for a cherry pie.
That's intense.
We had that cherry pie. And I'll have this to say, mostly because I didn't pay for it, but it was the best cherry pie I think I've ever had in my life. It was
really,
a really, really good pie. Yeah. But I've had other pie that was not $60 that was also very delicious.
Sure. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I think that's the fun thing about dessert and baked goods, too, is that, like, yeah, there is a – you can – it depends on your preference. Sometimes a mediocre version of something is good enough.
Right. Have you made cookies lately?
I did. I made cookies the other day for my husband because he was going to get them at Whole Foods. And I was like, no, I'm going to bake something. So I made like kitchen sink cookies for him.
Now, what is that?
It's traditionally leftover ingredients in the pantry or cabinet or whatever. So for me, it was chocolate chips, oatmeal. And
that feels like staples for
chocolate
a baker
chips,
lady.
Oatmeal. I had some leftover nuts. I had two different kinds of leftover nuts. So okay. I used them. And then I dumped in some toffee bits that I had left over.
Nice.
And yeah, so there's just like, it was like kind of a mishmash of different things. And then I browned the butter and added a little bit of cinnamon and stuff. So it had some flavor and it was good.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was like, you don't have to go buy Tikka's cookies.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, and then he ate all of them, was like, I don't know why I ate all of them. And I'm like,
because they were right there.
Yeah. And I'm like, because they were on the counter all night when they should have been put away.
Yeah. They were, you don't want them to go bad.
I know.
What's your favorite pie to make and to eat?
Ooh.
Are they the same?
No.
Yeah.
I think my favorite pie to make is pecan pie.
Interesting.
Because it's super easy.
Andy loves pecan pie.
Really?
And his mother. They're from the South. Or Andy isn't, but his people are. And so thus, the South has instilled their food into him. Okay. So pecan pie.
Yeah.
How is it? Why is pie crust so hard to make? I've never made it, but.
Well, it depends on it depends on what your preference of pie crust is too. And they never fucking tell you this shit either. Everyone's like, pie crust is hard to make and here's the correct way to do it. And it's like, correct for who?
Right. Because I don't even know. Yeah. Like, what's an incorrect way of making? Is it like you could crush graham crackers and crush them into a pie tin and that will ostensibly be a pie crust.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are they talking about when they say that it's really hard?
So to get the flaky traditional light texture that then holds together and isn't soggy on the bottom and doesn't shrink. And doesn't shrink when you bake it. Those are like the biggest technical difficulties that you get.
Okay.
Or it's too wet, it's too dry, like one of those things. But mostly it's the flakiness and ultimately the texture.
Yeah, and you don't want it to have the soggy part. You don't want everything to go through. So you cook it separately, right?
Yeah, generally you can do that. You can cook it separately depending on how long the pie has to bake for and what's in it. You don't have to par bake it, but in terms of the texture, you have to incorporate the butter into the flour in a very meticulous way so that the temperature is controlled and it doesn't melt into itself and it stays chilled, because the way that you get the flaky pockets are having like butter pockets within the flour that then melts and creates layers.
When it's cooking, not when you're combining it. So that's why there's frozen butter or chilled butter or.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
you're supposed to chop it up into tiny pieces or put it in. And there's other tricks that you can use. Like if you also don't want to overwork the dough. If you overwork it, then you can make it too tough. And then it's kind of like a harder. It's just not.
It's not chewy. It doesn't flake.
It's just more
like a brick or a hard tack.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would say like with all of these things too, it's like, I don't know, unless you like fuck it up really bad.
Yeah.
If it's a little bit off, it still tastes good. Like.
Right. Right. People still eat the pies. Like I've had very mediocre pies at Thanksgiving and Christmas where I've just been like, I'll have another piece. And so it's not like I'm not going to enjoy the pie. What's your favorite pie to eat?
Oh, my favorite pie to eat? I think I like.
At this time.
Right.
No pressure. It's like picking a favorite movie. It's insane.
It's so hard.
You can't do it. Yeah.
I really like lemon meringue pie.
I knew you were going to pick some sort of weird meringue.
Yeah.
It's
I need meringue. Two textures.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I need two textures.
Lemon meringue is like lemon pudding, right? It's like sort of a...
Yeah.
It's a hard lemony jello or not jello or pudding,
well,
right?
It's like, yeah, it's a mix between a lemon custard and like kind of a lemon gel.
Okay. So it's like a foggy lemon gel?
Yeah. Yeah. And then...
I know what it looks like offhand. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like that. And then the meringue topping is just kind of like a big fluffy marshmallow of egg white.
But crunchy. Yeah. It's always such a mess. Outside. Yeah. Crispy on the outside. It's what about macarons versus macaroons?
I've never felt like macarons were great. They're really pretty, but I've never had one where I've been like, wow, this is something I really treasure.
Andy has made them. And they're he loves them. So he's made them and they're good. I mean, it's sure. Again with that the texture of the crunch to the chew.
Yeah.
To the middle, you're like, no, okay. Sometimes I have them when I'm on the road and I'm just thinking about them and they're offering them and I'm like, oh, Andy likes those. I'll have one. And so the macaroons are an actual different cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. They're the ones we ate during Passover when I was a kid growing up because
they're made out of
coconut.
What are they? It's coconut.
Yeah. It's coconut and sometimes coconut flour, sometimes regular flour. They can easily be gluten-free.
And unleavened?
They're unleavened. There's no leavening agent. So they're kind of just like chunky. They're like chunky chunks of coconut. Sometimes they're dipped in chocolate. They're fine. They just really remind me of either going to like my aunt's or Passover.
Okay. So it's attached to a lot of ritual, family ritual.
It's also attached to like events where there wasn't good dessert. And so it was like, that was the best you could do was macaroons. And so you were like, I guess I'll have a fucking macaroon if it's between that and nothing.
That'll sometimes happen. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm curious, what is your favorite? Is cherry pie your favorite pie or is pumpkin?
Well, pumpkin was for the longest time, and then I had cherry pie, and I had never had a good cherry pie before. And this is before I had the best cherry pie. Like, okay. I think every other time I think I had had some sort of fruit pie, wait staff had been involved, and they insisted on making it a la mode and heating it up. And I was like, slow down, because if I get pie out, I would just like, just give me a piece of pie. That'll be fine. You don't have to do anything to it. I bet you all enjoy it. Yes. And because if I wanted ice cream, I would just order ice cream. I don't want them. I don't actually like pie a la mode. I don't. It makes the pie wet.
Not even apple pie a la mode?
No, I don't. I like ice cream. I guess I wouldn't mind to have a little bowl of ice cream next to my piece of pie.
Okay. You just don't want them touching.
I don't think I want them touching. That is, see, I learn things about myself when I do this show.
There you go.
This is it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's your preference. You don't want, you cannot have the ice cream touching the pie.
I can. Whenever I say I don't like something, the next line is, it'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not. It's not preferred.
Right. It's whenever anyone orders like a pizza or a group is ordering a pizza, if I'm in charge of getting the kind of pizza, I always say to each person, what would be the personal pizza? What would you order on a personal pizza? And then I try to combine the things that are common.
That's so thoughtful. Right?
Well, except for that, sometimes it doesn't work because people are like, some people will not do olives and other people will not mushrooms. Yeah, yeah. Like, what is your ideal personal pan pizza? What would be on it?
I would like ricotta cheese, mozzarella, pesto, pepperoni, and
just a bunch of cheeses. And then maybe garlic, onion, and pepperoni. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like meat on pizza.
Okay.
Because I find it greasy. But everyone I order a pizza with, that'll be in this house, they enjoy a meaty meat pizza. And so I just dab it with a cloth. And it's fine. Because it's like I don't not like pepperoni.
Yeah.
And it's not like I don't like sausage. I just... When it's there's a, just a little divot of oil that's coming through on with a pepperoni, you're just like, that's not for me. But
I get that. That's very reasonable. And I don't like a meaty meat pizza. Like my husband,
like a mix of meats.
Yeah, he likes if there's like a meat supreme.
Yeah,
that's what he wants. Like if there's like a sausage and ham and bacon and like he's like, yeah, let's do it. I like some balance. So that's not I can't do like a full fucking heart attack pizza.
Right. I like mushrooms, black olives and onions.
OK, great.
That's it. I also if it gets busy after three items.
Yeah,
it gets real busy.
Yeah.
So I like garlic. I like pesto. I like tomatoes. I like any number of things.
Right.
I don't like bell peppers. Bell peppers.
Oh, yeah. Bell peppers
they hurt
are
me
not.
When I was a child. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Why?
No, it was in college. The cook at the co-op that I lived at, she would use bell peppers to make food stretch. And so there were too many bell peppers in a lot of her dishes.
Traumatizing.
Right. And it would be like, well, this is just essentially a pile of bell peppers because it would affect all the other food. But that's fine.
So now it's a trigger.
Now it's a trigger. Do you do any baking of breads?
So breads are my weak point, I would say, personally. I did get into baking breads. I auditioned for Great American Baking Show.
Oh, right. On PBS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when they in the process, you have to make a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And you have to make it without any sort of like it's the technical challenge. Do you watch the show?
Yeah. And I've seen and I've only recently found the American version. It's great.
Yeah. So they so you have to bake the bread. It's the technical challenge or whatever that they give you to do at home. And it's kind of honor system, but I'm really like not great with yeasted items because I feel like I can never control the temperature of my apartment. It's also one of those things where you have to do it so many times to know what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
And I really struggle if I don't have a strong sense of that. So I literally made like six loaves of bread. And then it was the final one that I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with this. And it came out perfectly.
Oh, good.
But I still will make, I mean, if I make yeasted, like I love making like a brioche type thing or something like that, like a yeasted cinnamon roll, whatever. And if I do that, I will often fuck it up because I just won't proof it correctly. And I
it
also
falls
don't
apart in the
wait.
Proofing kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah. Like I don't have like a proofing drawer or like I overproof it. Like, I don't know that it's so obscure to me. They're like, it should double in size.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, great. Like, is this doubled in size? And also it's supposed to be a certain temperature.
Right.
In order for it to proof well and humid. And I'm just like, well, what the fuck? Like,
right.
So I've gotten better, but I'm definitely not. My skill level with bread is not good.
Is it something you're interested in getting sort of better at?
Like,
are you interested in bread? Yeah.
Yes and no. So the only reason, one of the reasons why I don't like it is because I like to be able to eat something the same day that I make it.
Oh, okay.
And
because that's why you bake. Yeah.
Yeah. And or try it. I want to at least try it. And often with breads, you can't do that. It has
to
be
a 2 or 3 day.
Yeah.
I've had Tom Papa on this show just talking about bread.
Because
he makes bread. Yeah. He makes bread and makes bread. And then he makes some bread. And there's always other bread starting behind the bread that he's working on. Every day he makes bread.
Yeah.
And so he makes the dough
every day.
Every day. And then the next day he starts the bread for the day 2 days from there. And so, yeah, it's just.
So that's the way to do it then.
I think so. But you also have to go through a lot of bread. Like I have made, since Chris has moved in, we've made a fair amount of bread and we've also made, banana bread, sourdough banana bread.
Ooh, sourdough banana bread.
Right. Because I got to use the sourdough starter.
Yeah.
And then also sourdough English muffins.
Okay.
And we made English muffins and English muffins, everything takes a day. Like you make the bread, the dough, and then it has to rise and overnight. And then the English muffins are actually simpler, I think.
Yeah.
And the banana bread, I think, is all made in one day. Banana bread is made in one day, sourdough. The bread was not made in one day. That was an overnight thing. And I think the English muffins is an overnight thing.
Okay.
So, but that I can't remember entirely. All I know is that she really likes it when I say, okay, we're going to use the sourdough starter. Tell me what to do. And then I just am like, okay, is this what it should look like? And then she's like, yes. And so.
So now you're more comfortable with it. You might be more comfortable with bread than I am.
I might be just because, and I'm not comfortable. I mean, I hope you're more comfortable than I am. Cause I'm not comfortable. And, but I like, the banana bread, sometimes it works. The 2 times ago we made the banana bread, too much banana. And it ended up being amazing. Last time we tried to purposefully add too much banana and it was actually just too much banana. And it made the bread too dense. Yeah, it felt underbaked. That's how much banana was in it. So,
but did it still taste good? Did you still eat it?
I did. They stopped eating it after a couple of days, and I was like, "All right, well, we're not going to waste it." I would eat like a piece of banana bread for breakfast. I'm like, I like banana bread, but nobody likes banana bread every day. And
No, that's also why I like giving away stuff when I make it. Cause I'm just like, I don't want to eat the same thing for as much of the quantity that I make it in. And so I would much rather have some and then give the rest away. But you can't really bake most things in small batches. Like there's recipes, but it's also not fun. So,
Right. I don't want to make four cookies. And and then have to. So we only have a couple of minutes left. Is there things that you would recommend if people wanted to just start? I mean, I like the idea of just saying, take exploding biscuits and turn it into something and just enjoy.
Yeah. I would say just play. Just don't burn it and don't underbake it. I mean, I also am the kind of person who is like, look, if you want to eat raw egg, eat raw egg. Like, unless you're a child or your life has value, I think that.
Right. Eat the raw dough.
Yeah.
Do whatever.
Feel free. Live your life.
My grandmother used to give us raw meat. And because she would make these meatballs. And she's like, this is what it should taste like raw. And you're like, okay, it tastes like parsley and onion and cumin and coriander. And that's what I know what it tastes like now. And ground beef. So raw ground beef. So
whoa,
and it wasn't like she was buying tartar. Yeah, I'd love to tell you she was buying the finest quality, but it was 1975, so probably not.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think just fuck around.
Yeah,
you did. You did.
Wait, fuck around and find out, Lindsay Adams.
Yeah,
in the best way.
Exactly. Fuck around and find out.
That's it. Rangers, we have been talking with Lindsay Adams, and her Instagram is Lindsay Adams is popular. Lindsay is L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. Adams is Adams, A-D-A-M-S. Is popular is spelled as the word is popular. That's her Instagram. She does stand up. Go check her out. I'm sure you could talk to her about a baking request. And if she was not overwhelmed or bored, she might take you up on it. No presh for Lindsay Adams. We're know in your hearts that you should only have to do the thing you dork out about when you want to do it.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Super fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
Well, it was fascinating because it was with Lindsay Adams.
Okay.
And her Instagram, by the way, is Lindsay Adams is popular, which made me laugh. She's a comic.
Okay.
And she...
A very popular
during
comic.
Lockdown, right? Very popular. Lindsay Adams is popular. And she... A great comic. Really good. And she is... likes to bake. And likes to talk about baking. She owns two KitchenAids.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's a bit of a perfectionist.
Dueling KitchenAids.
And did a lot of pies and started baking and then kind of got sucked into it during lockdown sort of an income. And she stopped liking it quite as much. And then she stopped selling all of her pies and cookies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she started liking it again.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that sometimes... This happens when the thing that you enjoy and you're doing is this has to do with reward systems, right? And
right.
Intrinsic versus extrinsic rewards. And we talk about this a lot in game design because we want people to intrinsically enjoy our game, right?
Right.
But frequently we do that by enticing them with external rewards.
Right.
And the problem with that is that it can lead you to all of a sudden start placing monetary values on your intrinsically rewarding behavior.
Right. So you start grinding it out and then it becomes less fun.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Which is what she ended up doing. And now, but get this, her first ever bake was she got those crescent rolls that go ka-chunk. And then she just put cinnamon and butter and made cinnamon rolls.
I will eat that. 10 out of 10 would eat.
10 out of 10 would eat.
Would eat again and again.
Right. She nailed it, quite honestly. And it was fascinating. She owns like pie weights. She likes to buy trinkets, like the different items that make baking interesting and fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like those spring circles.
The
pans that are springform pans.
Right. That doesn't necessarily make things more fun. That just makes it so that you can take cheesecakes out of them without destroying the cheesecake.
Which makes it more fun, don't you think?
I guess that's more fun. It seems like it's pretty functional. But who put the fun in functional?
Oh, let's end it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this episode, enjoy it, and remember the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?